We know that on the third day, he was raised, but not on Friday. On Friday, the first Good Friday, the day that we celebrate and remember tonight, is the day our Savior died on that cross and was laid to rest. I want to welcome you to our Good Friday service as we remember the ultimate sacrifice made by God. And it's one that I think it's so easy to gloss over, isn't it? It's so easy to forget the weightiness of how important, how crucial, how huge of a sacrifice that Jesus made. And we see snippets of films like that and we're reminded of just how weighty a moment it was. Some will ask, why is it good if it's such a grim reminder of death? But it reminds us of Romans 5:8, where it says, God shows us his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So it's our remember that God loves us no matter what. No matter what. No matter what we've done. See, we've seen and heard tonight some of the scenes of the cross, of the betrayal, of Jesus' road to the cross and of his suffering. But I'm going to have you tonight, if you have a Bible, hopefully you do, I'm going to have you open up to Mark chapter 15. If not, you can pull out your phone and use your Bible app. It's good. But I want us to read what the Bible says about the final moments of Jesus, of his crucifixion and his death. And what's important to note as we look to Mark chapter 15 is that there are four different gospel stories, four different gospel accounts of the moments that led up to the cross. And they're all a little bit different as they're written to different audiences. So when we read the books of Matthew and Mark, it's written to a Jewish audience. And why that makes a difference is because it ties the link for the Jewish audience of how this Jesus really is the Messiah that the Jews had been waiting for. How all the prophetic words that were written in the Old Testament foretelling of a Savior were fulfilled in Jesus. And then Luke and John give us another glimpse for us Gentiles, written to a Gentile audience, about the hope that we have and the perspective that we have. So we're going to look at Mark 15 for just a few minutes because I know we've got little ones and we've got some stuff. But I want us to look for a few minutes at Mark chapter 15. And we're going to look at Luke, and we're going to look at Matthew, and we're going to look a couple other places and jump around. Mark chapter 15 talks about Jesus as he's going to the cross, starting in verse 21, if you'll go there with me. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation tonight. It says, as Jesus was going to the cross, a passerby named Simon, who was from Cyrene, was coming in from the countryside just then as Jesus was marching to the cross. And the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus, and they brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. If you ever had a chance to go to Israel, to the place that they believe is Golgotha, you'll see the skull in the rock. But they offered him wine, drugged with myrrh, but he refused it. I just have a few things to say tonight. The first is this. Jesus could have numbed himself to the events that were about to transpire, to his suffering on the cross, but in fact, he could have run from it altogether. There's so many things that Jesus could have done. I mean, his disciples had swords. They were ready to defend him, to fight off these guys, but he didn't. Jesus faced the cross. It's Good Friday because it was a demonstration of God's love for us. He could have run, he could have numbed himself, but he didn't. Jesus died on the cross, and he died on the cross for you and for me. Turn to the person next to you and say, he died for you. See, the beautiful thing to remember is this. He could have done those things, but he didn't, because Jesus came for a purpose. In fact, the gospel says that he came on a mission. A mission from the Father, a mission from God to come to rescue you and me. Now, I read my boy's storybook Bibles, and I love the way that it tells this story. It says that he came on a rescue plan. And that's exactly what God did. He came to rescue his children. Amen. See, Jesus came to rescue us from our sin. That's why we have a mission as a church, don't we? We have a mission to seek and save the lost, because that's what Jesus came to do. See, if you and I were to stand before God, a holy and righteous God, the Bible says that every single one of us have sinned. We've all fallen short of the standards that God has set for us. We're all guilty before God, every single one of us. And the Bible declares that the wages of sin is death. That each and every one of us, as we see that video, that is what we deserve. As we stand before a holy and righteous God, we deserve death. We deserve eternal separation from God. But the good news of Good Friday and of Easter is that God didn't allow that to take place. God made a way where there was no other way. God said, I'm not willing to have my sons and my daughters separated from me. See, Jesus died on the cross for you. He died on the cross for me. He took my punishment and the thing that I deserved, which was eternal separation. He took that punishment upon himself, and Jesus died so that I could live. Jesus died so that I could live. Mark 15 continues in verse 24. It says, and then the soldiers nailed him to the cross. They divided his clothes and threw dice to decide who would get each piece. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. A sign announced the charge against him. It read, the King of the Jews. Now, two criminals, two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left, people who deserved to die. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. They said, ha, look at you. They yelled at Jesus. They said, you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well, then save yourself and come down from the cross. The leading priests and the teachers of religious law, they also mocked Jesus. He saved others, they scoffed, but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross so we can see it and believe him. Even the men who were crucified with Jesus ridiculed him. Just tell you, this part breaks my heart. Because I wonder how many times in my life I've scoffed at Jesus. I've mocked him with the way I've lived my life. And it breaks my heart. Because here is Jesus, King of the world, who Colossians 1 says existed before all things, and through him all things were created that were created. That he was the one who made heaven and earth and everything in it. All of us were made through Jesus, by Jesus, for Jesus. Scriptures declare in Colossians 1 that he is supreme over all creation. And there he is, choosing to be mocked, choosing to be beaten, choosing to lay down his life in my place for my sins, and in your place for your sins. It breaks my heart. But I love what Luke's gospel records, that as Jesus hangs from the cross, as he's being mocked, as he's being ridiculed, as people are mocking him to his face, as he sits there on the cross, Jesus utters these words in Luke 23, 34. He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Can you imagine a Savior like that? A Savior being mocked. A Savior who would lay down his life and then, even in the midst of being mocked and tortured and punished for a crime that he was not guilty of, he would say, Father, forgive them. So we know that as God, as creator of all things, he could have done anything he wanted to. My boys remind me of that truth all the time. Jesus can do anything he wants to do. Amen. He could have come down from the cross as those men mocked him too. He could have sent a legion of angels to protect him. He could have done anything, but he chose the nails. He chose the cross because he said, you are worth it. He said, we're worth it. He chose us. Now the prophet Isaiah foretold of this moment many, many, many years before Jesus were to come on the cross. And these Jews, the ones who mocked Jesus to his face, they had the prophet Isaiah in their scroll, in their synagogue, and they studied the scriptures, but they missed it. They didn't realize it was about Jesus. Isaiah 53, 4 through 6. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. They had the scriptures, but they missed the point. This was God's plan. Mark continues, 15:33. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. I want you to imagine the middle of the day, darkness. Darkness. In fact, can we make it dark in here for a second? I'm going to throw you guys for a loop. Darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. All right, you can turn it back up. They got to look at their Bibles. Then at 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lima sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why have you forsaken me? It was in that moment that the weight of the world, the weight of the sins of you and me, and of all of humanity were placed upon Jesus. And in darkness, he utters those words. Verse 35, some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him so he could drink. Then Jesus uttered another loud cry and breathed his last. The Gospel of John gives us a glimpse of what those final words might have been. John 19, 28 through 30 says, Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And to fulfill scripture, he said, I am thirsty. A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge on it with a hyssop branch and held it up to his lips. Then Jesus had tasted it. He said, it is finished. It is finished. Then he bowed his head and released his spirit. See, Jesus' mission had been finished. What was Jesus' mission? What did he come to do? Good answer. He came to die. He humbled himself and took on the form of man. And instead of running away, he chose to lay down his life for us to die. A brutal death on the cross. He did rise again. That's the good news. He did. Amen. That's what we celebrate on Sunday. I love you. You're awesome. See, God's mission was, of course, his lost children, each and every one of us. He couldn't stand to spend eternity without us, not willing that we'd be separated from him. So he made a way for us to come back, and it was the cross. I love what it says. Luke 23 gives us a couple more details, starting in verse 44. By this time, it was about noon, and darkness fell across the whole land. About 3 o'clock, the light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. This final piece of the story, right before Jesus' death, is a beautiful picture. And it's one that I want us to remember on this Good Friday as we remember the moments of the cross. The final word that Jesus uttered, it's finished from the cross, because it's written for us to have an understanding. The Jews would have understood the symbolism of this curtain being torn in two. See, in the Old Testament, when the nation of Israel was freed from slavery, God commanded them to build a tabernacle. And later, he asked them to build a temple with the same design. And the people of God would draw near to this temple to worship God because God's very presence dwelled within the temple. But there was some separation. See, the people of God could go into those outer courts and worship God there. And then the priest could get a little bit closer and go into this inner courtyard. But there was this one place called the Holy of Holies, place where God's very manifest presence dwelled. And it was a place that man didn't dare to tread. In fact, God allowed only the high priest to go in, but once a year, to enter into the Holy of Holies. And what separated the rest of the priests from that place was a curtain, a finely woven curtain. And it represented a barrier to the people's access to God. And I believe this is no small detail that's recorded in Scripture. See, the very moment that Jesus breathed his last breath on the cross of Calvary, the earth quaked. There was a giant earthquake. How many of you like an earthquake? You like the feeling of that? No, it's scary. But it says that that very moment the earth quaked. Matthew's gospel records that the rocks cracked in half. And that curtain was torn down the middle. But it wasn't torn from man's side up towards God's side. It was torn from the top to the bottom, Matthew's gospel records. And I don't believe it's by accident that it's recorded that way. I believe that God was sending a message to you and to me. That those things that once separated us from God, that curtain that divided us from being close to God, from being entering into that Holy of Holies, he said, it's finished. It's done. Never shall there be separation between me and my people. Jesus said those final words, it's finished. That curtain had been torn. The problem is that sometimes we live as if that curtain is still there, don't we? We live as if there's still something between us and God. When God, through faith in what Jesus did on the cross, has paid every sin. He's paid every punishment. He's taken away every barrier. But sometimes we live as if that's still there. That curtain is a curtain of guilt, of shame. We struggle with our sin, never realizing that Jesus said, it's finished. It's done. We don't have to stress about it anymore. Amen? See, our sins are like that curtain. We struggle and struggle. But God says, it's finished. It's been torn in two. Amen? In a few moments, I'm going to have us take a reminder of that. We're going to do two things. First, I've got strips of cloth like this one. There's the ones red. There's other ones. Sometimes we carry around our stuff with us, don't we? Our past mistakes, our failings, our sins. Those things that people say about us, you're dirty, you're broken, you're damaged. We carry around those words and those things, and we think that somehow there is separation between us and God. Well, I want us to write those words down. And I want us as an act of reminder, we're gonna nail those to the cross. That's why this cross is up here. Because I want us to leave these things behind, remembering that when Jesus said upon the cross, it's finished, he meant it. Amen? So we don't have to carry these things around. And I want to challenge you, leave them here. Not just physically. Of course, we're going to leave these slips of cloth here. But whatever it is that you've been struggling with or carrying around or feeling like is separating you between God, as you nail this to the cross, be reminded that Jesus Christ bore the penalty for those things already. He said it's already finished. And so I'm going to have you write those things down. And then as we leave our sins at the cross, we're going to take of communion. I'm going to have you grab some bread and grab the juice. That bread, which is a reminder of the broken body of Jesus on the cross that died for our place to make us whole. And the cup that's a reminder of his blood that was poured out that we might be cleansed from all unrighteousness, that we might be purified because of his blood. So I'm gonna have Kyle play for just a few moments. That's all we're gonna do, and then we're gonna close out our time with worship. But I want to have you come up, write that sin on the cross and nail it to the cross. And then take those elements back to your seat and partake whenever you're ready, as a family, as individuals. Let's do that now.